You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
That was the Goldsmiths Choral Union as they were rehearsing for their upcoming concert, Poetry in Motion, which is on Tuesday the 16th of June at 7:30pm at the Holy Trinity Church, Sloane Street in London. And as part of the concert, they'll be performing work by the blind jazz composer George Shearing. Joining me now here on RNIB Connect Radio to tell me what it's like singing in a choir as a visually impaired person is the blind author and broadcaster Selina Mills. And I've also got Jack Appley, who is the conductor of the choir as well. Selina, I know you have a great love of choral singing and you have performed in a couple of choirs over the years as well. Do tell me how you came across the Goldsmith Choral Union and what was their response when you approached them and said you would like to join the choir as a blind person?
I think it was a very banal thing. I Googled. You know, choirs in central London, and I knew I needed to get something that was easy to find and easy to get to, but I also knew that I loved singing to quite a high standard, and I had sung in some really good university choirs, so I really thought I have to look at what's there. And then I found this choir and I thought, ooh, what's that? And I came along for auditions. They usually have auditions at the beginning of the year in September, sort of academic year. And I don't think I actually told anyone that I couldn't see. I just turned up and Jack had just started. He'd just been appointed as our director of music and conductor. And I kind of shimmied in and then went, oh, well, I haven't got any sight reading tests and I can't see very well. And I forgot my music. But he was very calm, actually. He's like, oh, don't worry. We'll figure it out. Don't worry. Now, well, now, what are you going to sing? And I was like, oh, well, I wanted to sing this piece of music, but I forgot. So I'll sing Amazing Grace. And then I started giggling when I went, I was blind. And then now I can see. There's a bit in that. And you didn't giggle. You were very straight faced. Jack was very, very straight. And then he gave me extra oral tests. So oral tests are when you sing and you can tell the difference in tones of music or a scale, or you repeat back pieces of music to the person to see that you've got a musical memory. And I thought, oh God, I'm not very good here. And then at the end, you said, oh, well done, brilliant, you're in. And then I got really excited and I started singing Once in Royal David City very loudly. And he's like, well, why didn't you sing like that in your audition? And I went, well, I was very nervous. So I didn't plan it very well. I just turned up.
And so, Jack, what was your, I suppose, initial response when Selina approached you? And had you ever, I suppose, had any blind or partially sighted singers before in your choirs?
Well, I was delighted when Selina turned up to audition for the choir. And at one point, I mean, she's described it very accurately there. Usually we would be testing, when a singer comes to choir, we'd be testing three things. One, some vocal exercises, which are very similar to what we would do together as a group warm-up activity. So the singer is used to that. The second thing would probably be a little bit of sight reading, where we would present them with a new piece of music, which they would have seen maybe 5-10 minutes before the audition. And then they would sing a prepared piece. Obviously, in Selina's case, the sight reading extract would be inappropriate. So we decided to use oral tests, as Selina describes, to basically testing Selina's inner ear, her musical memory, as she says. It was a very flexible audition process. And that's very important because we're going to do what we can to make this work. And up until that point, I had not had anybody who was blind or was partially sighted singing in my choir, but it just so happened at the same time that Selina came into my life, into the choir of Goldsmiths Choral Union, that there was somebody else in another choir of mine, Concordia Voices, who rehearsed out in Southwest London. And there was a singer in the choir who was beginning to lose her sight, and she came to me and asked, how can we do this? And it was actually through the Royal National Institutes for Blind People that she had some of her sheet music printed in a larger print. And she also had her, because she sings alto, so that's the middle, the lower part, had that voice part taken out in isolation, and then had some little cues from the piano added in as well. So it means that there's less information for her to take in as you look at the page on the music. And this has been provided by the RNIB, and it's really transformed her singing experience, and it's prolonged her singing for many years now. And she's coming back to choir in the autumn, and she's still singing with us, which is great. But at that stage, it was very new to me. And I've learned so much through Selena and working with this other person who I mentioned in one of my other choirs, and my awareness has grown significantly in recent years.
So Selena, take me through how you sort of prepare for a rehearsal or a concert. Do you have to memorise the score, or are you able to use large print or possibly Braille when you're rehearsing and performing?
So I'm only on grade 2 Braille, so things are pretty, it's not good enough yet. What I tend to do, I have two methods. One is, if it's a very well-known piece of music, then I'll go and listen to it and a full performance of it. And then I'm an alto too, which is also often very differentiating from the main melody. So what I'll do is, Jack sends to everybody, not just me, things online, which are sort of choral aids. And they're a little bit weird and clunky in the sense of they sound like a very bad electronic organ.
Yeah, from the 1980s.
From the 1980s. and the singing is appalling, but you learn the notes. Because, I mean, there's different parts to performing. And one is just knowing the notes and knowing the beat and the pulse. And so that I try and do on my own, online. I've got JAWS and inverted text and things like that. So that I do that's part one. And then part two is I have a couple of buddies. I don't dump myself on everybody, but I have a couple of buddies in my section. Basically, I went up to them after my couple of rehearsals and said, would you mind if I always sit next door to you? Because A, I can hear your voice very well and it's lovely. but two, I can then mimic it and I can then learn that piece through, because you will get notes, Jack sends notes through on our scores, and I can't see those and they're too difficult for me. So I need to learn the breath. I need to learn the going softer. I need to learn. So a lot of the learning is the markings. Sometimes it's famous, like if it's in like a Mozart Requiem, that's quite a well-known choral piece and you end up knowing most of it in your head anyway. But if you're learning something from scratch, like the Shearing, I didn't know, I had to learn the whole thing. And what I would say is I probably learn 70% by memory, but the entrances, the exits, the bits which change key, or the bits which are, there's sometimes a composer repeat something and then do something really sneaky, then change one note as to make it different in the next section. But it's like you've got used to singing it one way and then you're like, oh, that's a C sharp, not a C. Mm. So I have to learn that by heart. And my third sort of thing was I learned not to sing if I was unsure, rather than upset the choir or upset our group, our altos, I just don't sing because I don't want to put other people off. But I had already talked about it. I guess the fourth thing is I always talk to Jack and said, do you mind if you don't see me singing? It's not because I'm not engaging. It's just I don't understand that bit well enough yet.
And Jack, as a conductor, obviously you're using your hands and you're possibly using your facial expression to direct and conduct the choir. How have you sort of, I suppose, amended that or adapted that to work with Selena?
Well, what I would say is there's so much more to singing in a choir than just, when you picture a choir singing, you picture a huge group of people standing and typically one person standing in front waving their arms around. That there's so much more to it, singing in a choir, than that. It's so much more of a physical sensation. And I mean, the three of us are sat together very closely now, but we're very aware of each other's breath and the physicality of when we're talking, and particularly when we're singing. And when a choir of 50 altos or a choir of, hopefully 50 tenors one day, when they breathe together, you can't help but go along with that. And there's a rhythm to that and an internal sense of rhythm. And that's what I'm trying to instill in the singers mainly. Yes, Selena says you've got to, ideally you could sing more right notes than wrong notes. But actually why do we sing in choir? We sing in choir because we want to come together, and it's about, if you can breathe together, then you can sing together.
Isn't it called somatic?
I would not know that.
There's a word for this. I looked it up. There's a whole thing about if you sing in a choir, it can be really a somatic experience, which is you experience, you won't get the same experience singing on your own. If you're in a group, you feel, you breathe together, you feel together, you even cry together if you or laugh or whatever. But there's a group thing has a physical impact on you, rather even if you can't see.
And what that sometimes means to me is even if it's like going for a slightly higher note, all of us have to physically try and reach for that high note, and that somehow is transferred between individuals, and you're sort of leaning off each other and you're working together to sing this beautiful piece of music, and it's very powerful.
I do remember actually when we were singing Haydn and my buddy, my alto buddy, and I said, what's going on? Because apparently Jack leapt off the podium, and he was like, you've got to get this. You know, this is so much passion and we're thankful to God here. This is a really beautiful bit and we're thanking God. And apparently he got off the stage and she started audio describing it for me. He's like, and he's presenting it in his hands as if it was a jewel. And you know, do you know the bit I'm talking about?
I know exactly the bit you mean.
But actually you can get someone to describe that to you.
A new created world.
That was it. A new created world. Exactly. Right. And you got very excited about it. And it was definitely physical acting. But I promise you can always have an audio buddy, you know, who can tell you what's going on.
And this is another important part of the job as well, because I'm trying to unlock, when I'm working with whatever choir it is, I'm trying to unlock something in the choir which enables them to get to where I want them to be, sound, you know, whether it sounds, you know, unanimous, whether it sounds together, all of those things I'm trying to, and that can be through imagery, through like metaphors, through similes, and you know, some of them are very funny, some of them are more serious, and it's trying to create new ways for people to imagine the music and to enable them to sing it to the best of their ability.
And words are words, you know, words, whatever disability you have, even if you don't hear very well or don't see very well, words are in your brain in the same way, whatever way. So however you learn the words is one thing, but how you express them is part of being part of a choir where we all express it in the same way.
Totally. And that's another thing which we sometimes are trying to do a little bit more of, is actually all of us, Selena said that she's learning the music from memory. I'm trying to incorporate more opportunities for the whole choir to sing from memory, and that means that everybody is on the same playing field. They've got the same task ahead of them, which is to deliver this piece of music without any prompts or without any aids, and we can do that together. And it's, you know, for most people that doesn't happen very often, particularly here in the UK in a choir like this. It's not the norm. So trying to have more opportunities for us to be singing from memory is a good thing.
As part of the Poetry in Motion concert, you have pieces or a piece by the blind jazz composer George Shearing. Was it a conscious choice to choose something by a blind composer, knowing that you had Selena in the choir, or was that something that didn't really sort of come across in your mind at all?
I must say it wasn't a conscious decision. I think it was in the second or third rehearsal that Selena said in rehearsal, did you know that he was blind? And I thought I'd said it, and I hadn't wanted to make a big deal out of the fact that George Shearing was a blind composer. As far as I was concerned, this is great music. It's great to sing. The text is by Shakespeare. It's a very imaginative text, and I think the music itself is very, very beautiful. And frankly, it went very well with the rest of the program. which features Ola Yalo's The Rose, which features a text by Christina Rossetti. And we're also doing a piece by Martin Palmieri called A Missa Tango, which is, again, it's the so motion cool. element. It's a very cool piece.
I've never sung like classical music, like Latin to tango music. It's bizarre. It's like Piazzolla or something, like, you know, you want to get up and start doing the tango, except you can't because it's obviously a choral work. But the Shearing, I had never heard of him. And then I looked him up because I'm slightly obsessed about knowing what composers have been and done. And apparently he before he died, he got knighted in 2007, I think. Mm-hmm. I might be wrong. Need to
check.
He lived
a very long life. He was 91 when he died.
And he said, when he got knighted, he said, not bad for a blind git from Battersea.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, I didn't even know. And yet he's really famous jazz composer and his music is so beautiful.
Traveled the world, emigrated to America at one point and, you know, was born, as you say, in very humble beginnings in Battersea to working class parents. So.
And Selena, what would you say to encourage other blind and partially sighted people to make that approach to a choir and sing with them?
Find the choir, write a note, drop them a note saying, I'd love to come and see you. By the way, it's not and, it's and, not but. And I happen to have either blindness or visual impairment. Would that be something that you could make accessible for me and help me with and you with? And if I get through the audition, so I think you still all have to have the same standard of musicianship. And I have to say, I've never had anyone say no. I was telling Jack, I had a university, a very famous choir master. He was really scary. And I got through the audition and he said, oh, not bad, not bad. You can, your jaw could move a bit more, but it's okay. And then I said, well, have you ever had, a blind or partially sighted person in the choir before? And he was, not since 1850. And I thought, oh my God, I'm like that old. So I think just my tip would be go find the director of music, ask them directly if you can, or through their assistant or whatever. Secondly, be honest with yourself, what you're struggling with and what you're not. Learn as much as you can so you feel in control and empowered, but also just go. It's so uplifting and it's empowering. It's really empowering to know you can conquer a piece of music that's really complicated and beautiful or even makes you cry. I mean, it could be grief. I mean, Brahms is a lot about grief, and I had a good old sub about losing my sight, you know. So it's something that can be a cathartic release, but it also can be something that keeps you going. And that's my top tip is go.
What would be your advice, Jack, to other choirs who are approached by blind or partially sighted people who would like to sing with them? What would you say to them to sort of maybe, I suppose, advise them, but also, you know, get over some of those concerns they might have?
Choirs are an open space, which are supposed to be accessible and welcoming. And, you know, this is why we're in the business, to bring people together and to make music together and to, as I said earlier, build community. So I think you need to be open to people. You need to be flexible to people. There may be some of your processes which currently exist, which might need to be adapted, because it's about enabling people to give their best and be their best. Having open and honest conversations that Selena and I have had over our years working together now, it makes me a better conductor and it makes us a better choir, having those honest conversations.
And finally, Jack, if people would like to find out more about the Goldsmiths Choral Union and maybe purchase some tickets to come and see the Poetry in Motion concert on the 16th of June at 7:30 p.m. at Holy Trinity Church in Sloane Street in London, where can they go to find out more and purchase their tickets?
Tickets are available from Eventbrite, and they can search for Goldsmiths Choral Union Poetry in Motion on the Eventbrite website. We also have a website, goldsmithschoralunion.org, and you can get in contact with us through that website as well.
Well, thank you very much indeed, Selena and Jack, for chatting with me here on RNIB Connect Radio and sharing the joys of singing in the choir as a visually impaired person.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
For more interviews, features and shows, go to your favourite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.